Today on Brave, a message from Pastor Jeff Schwarzentraub.
My identity is wrapped in Christ, so I don't live in fear, doubt, shame, or guilt anymore. And I'm not going to let the enemy or anyone else lie to me and take away who I actually am. This is who I am. I'm a child of the King, and I'm already complete in Him. Amen? And by the way, if you've trusted in Christ, that's who you are too.
Welcome to Brave, the Bible teaching ministry of Jeff Schwarzentraub, founder and lead pastor of Brave Church in Denver, Colorado. Most people view authority as something that restricts our freedom, but we can't fully experience the benefits of God's blessings until we submit our will to His. Today on Brave, Pastor Jeff helps us understand what those benefits are and what it looks like for Jesus to revolutionize our lives. We're continuing our series called Focused, and just a quick reminder, if you need to go back and catch up on earlier messages from our current series, head to bravemedia.online. Now, if you have your Bible handy, open up to Colossians chapter 2, beginning in verse 10, as we join Pastor Jeff for part 2 of the message, Lordship Benefits.
Here's benefit number one. Lordship benefit number one is in Christ you have complete sufficiency. In Christ you have complete sufficiency. When you understand that Jesus is completely sufficient, scriptures will leap off the page like this, like Galatians 5:1. You can write these verses down. I'm going to read them too fast. Galatians 5:1 says, "It is for freedom that Christ Jesus has set us free. Therefore, no longer submit to a yoke of slavery." Well, what's a yoke of slavery? A yoke of slavery is if you've been declared free, but you live as though you're a slave to your sin, even though you are free, you're not living as though you're free. You're still in bondage. And it's for freedom that Jesus set you free, so live free, right? 2 Corinthians 10:5 says that's why we need to take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Why? Because the enemy will lie to you all the time. I don't care whether you've been a Christian for 3 minutes or whether you're thinking about giving your life to Christ and letting Him be the Lord or whether you've been a Christian for 30 years. Here's the lie. If Jesus is the Lord of your life in the fullest measure, you're going to miss out on blank. You're going to lose blank. Your life's going to be less than because of blank. In other words, the lie in your life at all times is don't go all in with Jesus. If you go all in with Jesus, you're going to be in a missionary in a hut in Africa and you'll be totally miserable. So go in a little bit, don't go all the way in. It's a lie. Whatever He tells you when you want to go all in with Jesus and you feel like you can't, it's always a lie. Okay? So then this begs this question, because every single one of you is saying, okay, I agree with you, Pastor Jeff, that's awesome. Jesus is completely sufficient for our life in Him. Here's my question. Is He for you personally? Is there any area in your life that you look outside of the person and work of Jesus for your growth in Him? Better question is, where is the area in your life that you're tempted to look outside of Jesus Christ for your continued growth in Him? And wherever it is, just repent of that. And just say, Jesus, I've been looking over here in addition to you. It's Jesus Christ and Him alone. John 8 says in John 8:31, if you continue in my word, you are truly my disciples. Then you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. Jesus said in John 17:17, thy word is truth. And in 2 Corinthians 3:17, where the spirit of the Lord is in that truth, there's freedom. Now, why is this so important? Because the devil knows the back half of the verse of John 10:10. He came to steal, kill, and destroy, but why did Jesus come? So that you would have life and have it more abundantly, or you'd have life and you'd have it to the full. The devil knows that for every single person out there, when a non-believer gives their life to Christ and when a believer continues to walk in the full lordship of Christ, in that there is such joy and freedom and hope and expectation that he doesn't want us to live like that. So for the non-believer, he blinds them to the truth of the lordship, and for the believer, he lies to keep you from enjoying what is already rightfully yours. I mean, think about it this way. I mean, if you had access to the President of the United States, or if you had access to a billionaire, or you had access to somebody that had power over an entire company, the job you were looking to go see, like if you were seeking a job at IBM, but you knew the CEO and were best friends, would you worry about your interview? Would you care? You know the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and the one who rules and reigns, and nothing happens apart from his goodness. And in him and in him alone is everything you will ever need. In this series of focus, here's what he's saying. Focus on Jesus and in him alone, because in him the full deity of the Godhead dwells. And in him you have been made complete already. Isn't that good news? You're already whole in him. And notice what he says. Well, how do you know how much power he has? Look at the back half of verse 10. And he is the head over, he is the head over all rule and authority. Well, what kind of rule and authority does he have? Well, Colossians 1:16 tells us, for by him all things were created, both in the heavens and on the earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. So what is he authoritative over? All things, things in heaven and on earth, things you see and don't see, he's authoritative over them all, like all. So there's nothing in your life he does not have authority over. Here's what the enemy will do. He'll lie to you and tell you your circumstance can't change. Your circumstance can't change. You're always going to be like this. You're always going to act like this. Your marriage is always going to look like this. Your dating relationships are always going to be like this. You're never going to get that job. You're never going to, because this is who you are. You're bad. You're not. No, no, no. I'm already complete in Christ, and he's the Lord of my life, and he has rule and authority over all things. You can't talk to me like that. Every situation I'm in, he's Lord over all of them. There's nowhere that he doesn't rule in heaven or on earth. Isn't that good news this morning? And that's who we're connected to in our walk with him. And so Paul is making sure that we don't have our sufficiency stripped away from us by someone who is taking us captive by the devil and his minions, or somebody who's falsely teaching, or somebody who tells us that there's secret knowledge out there that we need to have. You're completely sufficient in Christ. Second benefit of Jesus Christ being Lord is this. It's Christ-like identity. We've been touching on this already. It's Christ-like identity. Notice what he says in verse 11. And in him, there's that in him again, you were also circumcised with a circumcision made without hands in the removal of the body of flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Now, God established the covenant of circumcision with the nation of Israel. It was an outward demonstration of a removal of flesh, demonstrating that man was born sinful. And by this covenant, where the male child will be circumcised on the eighth day, it was a reminder that only by God's hand and his removal of their sin could they be in right relationship with him. But the nation of Israel, much like many of us, got into the routine of doing something without understanding what was being done. Can I tell you what happened on the cross? When Jesus Christ laid down his life on the cross and he died for the sins of the world and he was buried and he rose from the grave, everyone who has repented and trusted in Jesus Christ alone for the forgiveness of his or her sin has been spiritually circumcised. Not a physical circumcision, but a spiritual circumcision that Christ does, where he takes that heart of flesh that we had that was rebellious to him in every way, where we were dead in our sins, where we wanted nothing to do with God, and he took that away so that we would have the desire to worship him. And he's the one that cut that out to show us that we could be in covenant with himself. And Jesus Christ did all the work. It means that our identity is Christ. It means that our life is Christ. It means that we are in Christ. And who did all this? Jesus did. This removal of the body of flesh means that he stripped it off. He took away that which was hostile to him so that we could be in love with him. And notice what verse 12 says, still talking spiritually. Having been buried, here we go, with him in baptism, in which you were also raised up with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. It's talking about the picture of the gospel, that Jesus Christ, who died for our sins and was buried, is now raised. And what happened was, in the gospel, when we trust in Jesus Christ alone for the forgiveness of our sins, we too have been circumcised. A circumcision not done with hands is a circumcision spiritually done by Christ, where he removes that body of flesh which was hostile to him so we could love him. We've been buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, meaning we've been immersed in the death of Christ, which means that all our sins have been forgiven. They've been washed away. And because Jesus Christ rose, we've also been raised with Christ. Ephesians 2:6 says that we've been placed in the heavenly realms, positioned in the heavenly realms with Christ. So our identity is Christ. Now think about this. You've been made complete. You've been seen perfect by the Father, not because of anything you've done, but because of by believing that through the death of Jesus on the cross and in the cross, you have life and have life in his name. It's who you are, which means this: you can't talk to yourself by the names that the enemy likes to give you. Sinner, loser, broken marriage, divorce, mean, angry. Those are earthly terms. You are a child of the Most High God, and you are beloved, and you are holy, and you are chosen before the foundation of the world, and his love is on you, his favor is on you, his grace is on you. You are his beloved daughter, or you are his choice son, and in him you have righteousness and the forgiveness of sins. You've been made perfect in him. You're a co-heir in Christ in all of his riches. That's who you are, right? Isn't that good news? That felt like a golf clap. I mean, come on. Thank you. I mean, seriously, we think the gospel is just about getting a get out of hell free card. I mean, that's a great benefit that we don't have to spend eternity in hell. One of the benefits is I'm identified with Christ. And while I can look in the mirror and see all the things that are wrong with me that don't align with Christ, God the Father, through the blood of Jesus, doesn't see me that way. He sees me as whole and complete and perfected and loving and kind and righteous and good. And that is who I am. Once you believe in who your identity is in Christ, it will change your life. If I'm having to work for that rather than live in that, my life is different. See, religion tells you, here's what you must do in order to get right with God. Christianity says, here's what God did to make you right with himself. See, the gospel of Jesus Christ, there's really only one performance worth noting in the entire Bible, and it's Jesus Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. That was the key performance in the entire pages of Scripture. He performed. There's nothing you're ever going to do that's going to even come close to outshining his performance. He did all the performance. You, in him, just get to bask in the identity that you've already been given in Christ. Now, why is that important? Well, because when people come to Christ, we tell them, and rightly so, no matter what you've done, no matter where you've been, no matter what you've thought or said, it's all forgiven under the blood of Christ, which is totally true. But what do we tell the Christian? You should have known better. You shouldn't have done that. You've been walking with the Lord 20 years and you're still sinning like that. How come your behavior hasn't changed? How come you still swear? How come you still smoke? How come you still drink? How come? And we shame believers rather than understanding if you knew who you are, you would walk in a different sense of freedom. I mean, when the Bible says that you are crowned with glory and honor and a little less than God, I'm not that, but because of who I am in Christ, I am. It means I'm completely cleansed. It means I'm completely whole. It means my sin has been paid for. Myself has been crucified. The law has been fulfilled in Christ, and the world has been conquered by Jesus, and that's who I'm in. So I'm completely sufficient in Christ, and my identity is wrapped in Christ, so I don't live in fear, doubt, shame, or guilt anymore. And I'm not going to let the enemy or anyone else lie to me and take away who I actually am. This is who I am. I'm a child of the King, and I'm already complete in him. Amen? And by the way, if you've trusted in Christ, that's who you are too. And when you start living as if you're the child of the King and you know how much he loves you, it's different than if you're trying to please this King that's unpleasable. Right? I mean, this is stuff Paul wanted us to know. I mean, when I started believing this, my life in Christ took off to a whole new level. And it's hard to do, because there will be lies that come in your head all the time where you'll say, I'm stupid, I'm no good, I'm lousy. I mean, this week I was out in Vegas for a prayer conference. I landed in Vegas on Monday at the airport. I was with my brother, and I had been watching a movie on my headphones, had my headphones on, and so I wasn't paying attention to where our luggage was, and I asked my brother, where are we at? He said, well, it's luggage terminal 22, and I said, well, where'd he go? He's like, well, we just got to get on this train. So I got on the train, didn't think about it. We went from terminal 1 to terminal 3, got there looking over all the luggage, went to every single one. There was no baggage claim 22. So I went to the lady, I'm like, hey, is there a 22? She's like, yeah, that's back in terminal 1. I'm like, well, how do we get back there? She's like, well, there's no train. Now you got to go wait for a bus. We had to wait another half an hour to catch the bus to go back to terminal 1. If we had just walked down the stairs, we could have picked up our luggage. Now, what happens when these things happen? Normally, our identity gets robbed for a moment. It's not like, well, I'm crowned with glory and honor and a little less than God, and I'm redeemed, and I'm a saint, and I'm all... No. Like, why? I mean, it goes off. I mean, if you have a younger brother, it goes something like that. Why did you listen to your brother? And then blame starts coming out, and like, why did you leave us there? And we can talk about him because he's not here today. And, right? Do you see how that happens in your life? It happens in a marriage. It happens in a relationship. It happens in church. It happens all the time where identity gets robbed, and then we feel like we're less than, and so we respond accordingly. But when we know who we are, we don't worry anymore. Because no matter where we go and no matter where we're at and no matter what happens, we know that we're a child of the King. And he loves us with an unconditional love. Amen? That's called identity in Christ. It's yours to take ownership of. So here's the question. Here's the question. My question is not, do you like this? My question isn't this good because it is. My question is, where in your life are you still living performance-based Christianity rather than ownership-based identity on who God says you are? Because the greatest joy in your life comes from ownership-based identity. And if there's something in your life that doesn't align with who you are in Christ, the reason you want to change it to align with Christ is not so that other Christians feel comfortable with you. It's not so that you can get God off your back. It's because in Christ and in Him alone is the greatest joy and freedom that you can ever experience. It's an invitation to everything God would have for you. It's complete sufficiency. It's Christ-like identity, and now let me give you a third. This could be my favorite. They all build on each other. It's comprehensive forgiveness. It's comprehensive forgiveness. Notice what the word says. When you were dead in your transgressions, okay? So let's just make this clear. Every one of you was born dead in your transgressions. Every person here is and was born spiritually dead. Everyone was born spiritually dead. Every single person. If you don't get that part of theology and own it, it makes it hard to understand the gospel because you'll see somebody that lives a long time, that seemingly lived a good life, that was philanthropic or nice, and you'll be like, how could God send someone like that to hell? Like, how could he do that when they're actually kind of a good person? No, no, no. They're dead in their transgressions and sins. Transgressions mean willful actions that go against God. It means every single person here didn't just slip and sin one day, didn't have a couple minor ones. All of us here have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God by knowing what God wanted and going just the opposite way. That's true of all humanity. And when you were that way, for those of you who are believers, here's what God did. When you were dead in your transgressions and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, meaning you were still living hostile to God, what did you do? He made you alive together with him. You were dead. How did you become alive? He made you alive. What's the gospel? Death to life. That's it, right? Death to life. Every time someone is saved, it is spiritual death to spiritual life. It is death to vitality. That's the gospel. Somebody that was bad didn't become good. Somebody that was good didn't necessarily become better. Somebody who was spiritually rebellious and dead became alive. That's the gospel. Who did it? Jesus. How did he do it? Through the cross, his death, burial, and resurrection. And now in him, you have access to him, through him, complete life in his name. And what did he do? I love these verses. Get your eyes on the text. You got to see it for yourself. Having forgiven us, what do the next three words say? All our transgressions. Whoa. How many sins did he forgive? All. You ever thought about that for a minute? I don't know about you, but maybe, could you maybe help me out just a little bit? Who here maybe in the last week, month, or year, that there's some sin that you've sinned that if you could go back and do it, you wouldn't have sinned that sin? Just by show of hands. Anybody? Okay. If you didn't raise your hand, you're telling us some of your sins, but it's pride, or you're not paying attention. Okay, so the point is, all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and even after we become Christians, how many sins did he forgive? He forgave them all. Means he forgave the humongous ones that you say, I know he forgave all my sins, but this one still haunts me from back here, and I wish that I never had been a part of. That's gone. The teeny little ones that nobody else knows about that you think aren't that big of a deal, gone. The medium-sized ones, gone. The relational ones, gone. The mental sins, gone. The ones that you've acted on, gone. The ones that you wish you would have acted on, but you didn't because the restraining power of the Holy Spirit didn't let you. Like when you were driving on I-25 and somebody cut you off and you didn't do what you wanted to do, but your heart said, do it. That's forgiven too. Just personal testimony. The ones that bother you, forgiven. The ones that don't bother you, forgiven. They're all gone. Jesus is the greatest debt collector of all time. You owe him with your life. You will pay for it with your soul unless the cross of Christ has paid for you. Now, at the cross, we have all our sins forgiven. It means when you come to Christ, it means everything up until the time you came to Christ, it's all washed away. I'm not talking about covered over and you have to think about it. I'm talking about whoosh. I'm talking about flushed. I'm talking about it's gone. You'll never see it again. Also, at the cross, all your present current sins washed away. Even the ones that you've been thinking during church while I'm preaching, those are washed away. The ones that God knows you're going to sin later today, tomorrow, next week, those are washed away too. It means you have complete forgiveness. You know what complete, comprehensive is? I used to sell life insurance. Let me tell you about comprehensive. Comprehensive means total and complete. If you ever rented a car and you go up to the dealer, what do they want to sell you? They want to sell you comprehensive insurance. Comprehensive means this. They'll try to sell you the one that's like $59 a day extra because they want you to have the kind of insurance that if anything happens to your car, somebody keys it, they write on it with a pen, you spill it, you get knocked, it's your fault in the accident, whatever happens, they'll take care of everything. You don't even need to worry about it. You don't need to go through your insurance company. It's comprehensive. Here's what happened on the cross. It was comprehensive forgiveness for everyone who believes. Listen to me. It means if you're not a believer, Jesus Christ paid the penalty for your sin. It's available to you to have all your sins forgiven. You just must repent and believe in him, and then he'll take all your sin, and he'll give you all his righteousness. If you are a believer, it means this. All of your sin has already been forgiven. So when I sin, then why do I confess my sin still if it's already been forgiven? Because presently I want to experience the washing of his blood all over me again and again. Amen? And so I'm like, Lord, thanks for your forgiveness. Lord, I messed this up again. I did it wrong. And Lord, I thank you that that's not who I am anymore. And I thank you that I have a new identity. And I thank you I have a new life in you. And I thank you that I'm already set apart. And I thank you that I'm holy. And Lord, I was wrong and that was sinful. And I'm confessing that to you. And I thank you afresh for your forgiveness in my life. You already knew I was going to sin that before I was even created. Praise you, God.
You're listening to Brave, the Bible teaching ministry of Jeff Schwarzentraub, and the second segment of a 3-part message titled Lordship Benefits. If you missed the beginning of this lesson, catch up when you can at bravemedia.online. Today, Pastor Jeff continued our series in the book of Colossians called Focused by sharing some of the fundamental lessons the Apostle Paul taught about our identity in Christ. There's even more to unpack from our lesson, Lordship Benefits, when we return Monday for part 3 of the message, so join us then. Before we end today's program, we want to say how much we appreciate hearing from you. If you've been joining us for these lessons over time and have never reached out, we encourage you to do that today and let us know you're listening. When you do, we want to remind you that your financial gift of any amount helps make this program possible. Your generous, faithful support helps ensure this radio ministry can continue bringing the truth of God's Word to new listeners across the country. Reach out today and click the Donate tab at bravemedia.online. Or give us a call at 360-552-7283. That's 360-552-7283. If you'd rather send a check in the mail, do that as well. Our address is Brave Church, 3651 South Colorado Boulevard, Englewood, Colorado, 80113. And if you live near the Denver metro area, join us this weekend for services at Brave Church. You can join us for worship at either of our two campuses in Englewood or Westminster, or live stream services at our website. For details, directions, and service times, go to bravemedia.online and click the Brave Church button for all the info you need. I'm your host, Bill Carl. Join us again Monday for the third and final part of our message, Lordship Benefits. That's next Monday, here on Brave with Jeff Schwarzentraub.
Today's program was produced and furnished by Brave Church in Denver, Colorado.